letter to John that was read to you this morning that you've heard. I'd like to add to that just a little bit. 11 verses found in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter. The New Revised Version says this: therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that afflictions produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope is not put to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still speaking, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely, therefore, since we have now been justified by his blood, we will be served or be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. For a few moments as God speaks to us, I would ask that you meditate with me and for me on the topic. It happened at the well. Let us pray. Father God, again, I stand before you, an empty pitcher before a full fountain. Again, asking that you would fill this pitcher and allow this pitcher to overflow. Allow this message, it happened at the well, to find its way out unto those you've given an ear to hear it. Allow it to find its way out to those you've given a heart to receive. Father, allow this message to find its way out to those you've given a will to do. So now, God, I ask again that you would touch these lips and use this voice, that they would be yours and not mine, that you would be heard and not me, that this body you would hide behind this desk so that only you are seen and not I. Again, we thank you, Father, for showing up. So now is the time to show out, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It happened at the well. Can I start with a question? Of course. I'm going to do it anyway. Where is your well? Go when you're tired, thirsty, overwhelmed, or searching for something more in life. For many of us, the well might be our routines, our work, our relationships, our habits, or even our struggles. It is the place we return to again and again and again, hoping something will satisfy the deep thirst inside of us. John 4, we find a woman doing this very same thing. She comes to Jacob's well, carrying her water jar, expecting nothing more than another ordinary trip. But on that day, something extraordinary happens. And you know what? It happened at the well. And what happened there was everything, or has everything to do with our lives today. The gospel tells us something very important. The woman came to the well around noon. Y'all know it's the hottest part of the day. And in this culture, women typically gathered water early in the morning or late in the evening when the temperature was cooler. It was also a social time where people talked. and shared community. But this woman came along. Why? I'm glad you asked. She came along because her life had become the subject of gossip and judgment. Jesus later reveals that she had been married 5 times, and now the man that she's living with is not her husband. And y'all know how it is, gossip. It only takes one to start that fire. She's on husband number 2. She's on husband number 3. What's wrong with her? She's up to her 5th husband. Oh, Lord, look at her. She's living with somebody now. See, y'all laughing. Y'all know that's some of the stuff we talk about. She likely came at noon to avoid these people's whispers, these women. Men, y'all think men are bad at gossiping? Women are worse. They whisper, they criticize, they give the sideways glances. So this woman came when no one else would be there. She came where she thought she could hide. Yet, what she discovered is something many of us eventually learn. You cannot hide from grace. Jesus was already there waiting for her. And not just her, but he was waiting for everyone that happened to come to that well that day. When Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink," the woman is shocked. Jews did not typically speak to Samaritans. Men did not engage in women publicly like this. And Jesus crossed every social boundary at that time. Then Jesus makes a remarkable statement. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now I want y'all to think about the contrast. The woman came to the well for water. She came for well water, right? But Jesus offered her living water. The well represented something very familiar to us. The well had limits. You had to keep coming back and back and back. The well said that you'd have to lower a bucket again and again and again in order to get a drink. The well satisfied us. It satisfies you temporarily. But soon, you will be thirsty again. But isn't that how life works? Pretty much. We keep returning to the well that promises satisfaction. Anybody know what that well is? The well of success. The well of money. The well of status, relationship, achievements. We keep coming back and back and back again because it doesn't satisfy us. Jesus explains the difference clearly. He says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water I give them will never, ever thirst again." What Jesus offers us, my brothers and sisters, is not temporary relief. It's transformation. If we're honest, we're not so different from the Samaritan woman, are we? Think about it. Sometimes we approach Jesus cautiously. Sometimes we approach him at our own noon hour. We come when life becomes heavy, when guilt begins to weigh on us, when our own wells run dry, when we realize what we've been chasing cannot truly satisfy. Like her, we have tried to avoid certain conversations with God. But Jesus gently leads. story, not to condemn her, but to free her. And this is where the message from Romans 5 quietly enters the picture. Paul writes, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Samaritan woman didn't come to the well expecting peace with God. She came expecting peace from the world. She came to be able to draw her water, go about her business, and not have to worry about the gossip. But what she found when she got to the well was something more. Romans tells us something profound, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did y'all see the timing? Did y'all notice what Paul writes? He didn't say, not when we cleaned ourselves up, or not when we became perfect. He says, while we were still broken. The woman at the well represents the truth. She represents that brokenness beautifully. She meets Jesus in the middle of her complicated life. And instead of condemnation, she finds conversation. She finds truth. She finds grace. She finds that living water. Paul would say, God's love has been poured out into our hearts. Did y'all get the language? Poured out. Just like water, the living water Jesus gives is God's love filling our hearts, our human hearts. Something remarkable happens to the woman after she has that encounter with Jesus. Did y'all follow the story? After he told her about her life, the text says that she left her bucket and went to the city and told everybody. She had met a man that told her everything about her life. That very thing that she needed to sustain her was left at the place she had come to get refreshment. Why? Why would she have left her bucket, that life-saving piece of equipment that was necessary? Simple. She found something greater than water. She runs back to the town and tells everyone, as we said, come see a man who told me everything I did. And the woman once, this woman who once avoided people at noon, becomes the one inviting them to meet Jesus. Y'all need to realize grace does that. Living water turns shame into testimony. The story ends with the townspeople declaring something powerful. They say, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the savior of the world. A town that thrived on gossip heard it, but they went and saw it for themselves. We no longer believe what you said, or we no longer believe because of what you said. We now believe because we've seen it, experienced it for ourselves. This verse, 4:42, has a profound message. Faith, it often begins with someone else's testimony. But eventually, we must encounter Christ for ourselves. The townspeople move from secondhand belief to personal faith. This passage challenges us in two ways. First, it asks us, have we truly experienced the living water ourselves? Anybody? Have you truly experienced the living water yourself? I'm not talking religion. I'm not talking routine, and I'm definitely not talking tradition. I'm talking, have you had a real encounter with Christ that brings peace with God? Hope that does not disappoint, and reconciliation. Reconciliation with God. Second, it asks as a church, are we helping others to come to the well? The Samaritan woman did not keep the good news for herself. She invited others. The church is called to do the same. We become a community that says, come, see. My brothers and sisters, the story of the well did not end in Samaria. Y'all understand that, right? It still happens today. It happens when someone burdened by guilt encounters grace. It happens today when someone searching for a meaning discovers Christ. It happens today when someone thirsty for hope finds living water. And it happens when lives are changed. So the question remains, where is your well today? And more importantly, are you ready to receive the living water of Jesus Christ? My brothers and sisters, when we truly encounter Christ, we too will say, we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is really the Savior of the world. And when the church lives like that, the world will not come running back to the well. The world will come running back to the well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.